Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Many investors are concerned about their retirement as well as their parents' financial health during retirement. This is a result of a survey conducted by T. Rowe Price just recently, and some of the findings are a little bit startling. I'm going to be talking with Stuart Ritter. He's a certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price. Stuart, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is very interesting because we're not talking about seniors here. We're talking about young people who are looking ahead to retirement. And I was a little bit surprised about that, not because I don't think that our younger generation is serious, but just because it's not something I would have expected them to give so much focus to. And so I guess, and I'm speculating here, perhaps part of that reason is because of what they're seeing their parents go through?
Certainly what retirement has meant to people has evolved. So in the old days, it was the pension, and you didn't really see parents talking about what they were doing to manage their money because they weren't doing that. Now, with more people having to save on their own, having to make investment decisions about 401ks, and their kids having to do that as well, I think there's more awareness of how much I have to do to prepare for my own retirement, and therefore more concern about their parents and how they're doing in their preparations.
Well, in the survey, I think you all found that an awful lot of younger people are helping their parents financially to get through during their retirement. And I suspect that has a lot to do with what's happened to the financial health of this country in recent years, and with investments going down and values going down and houses, mortgages going underwater. What are some of the other factors that you would attribute to that concern and that lowered level of financial income for retirement people?
I think there are a couple of things that are playing in here. One is to remember that there used to be a lot of people who weren't financially well off in retirement. So some of that hasn't changed. For example, the Social Security Administration will look at sources of income for people over age 65. Well, it turns out that 1 out of 5, so 20% of the elderly population, has Social Security as their only source of income. So people struggling a little bit in retirement is something that's been around for a while. I think we're a little bit more open now about what's going on with finances. One of the things that the downturn did is everybody experienced it. So it wasn't as if I'm having a problem, but I don't want anybody else to know. Now everybody's having a problem, so it's okay to talk about it. So people are more engaged with their parents. People are living longer, so the time period over which they have to manage their money is much extended beyond what it used to be. So people are stepping in and having those conversations. It's not necessarily I'm writing a check to my parents, but talking to them about what their financial situation is, what help they might need. So there's a lot more interaction going on.
Well, I suspect some of these conversations are taking place even before the parents retire.
Sure. People want to know how prepared their parents are, because one of the things people are recognizing is if I'm planning my own finances, one of the things that may affect that is whether or not my parents are ultimately going to need help. And if they are, I'd rather know that sooner, maybe collaborate with my siblings, see if there's something we can do to help now. Those kinds of things are coming into play now.
Now, what prompted the survey? Were you looking at the overall picture of retirement? What were you looking for, and what did you find?
Yeah, at T. Rowe Price, we're constantly trying to understand what issues our customers are facing and how those are evolving as people age, their personal issues evolve, but as the economy changes, what people in general are facing is altering. So we want to make sure we're best understanding what's going on so that we're providing the education and information to help people address those. So this is an ongoing effort. Each time we do it, though, we find out something new. Something's changed, something's different, and what you've been mentioning has been part of that.
So the concern about the concern for parents from the younger generation is a new kind of a new thing, you're telling me.
It's becoming a more prominent kind of issue. Again, it's probably always been there, but people are living longer. If they're running out of money,
that's a big problem.
Yeah, as always, are turning to their kids for help. So there's more of that engagement with parents, again, recognizing that there's more, there are more decisions that people need to make, so people are more engaged to make sure that they understand what decisions their parents are making.
Are you finding that the investment vehicles being used by people has changed a good deal because of these concerns?
One of the things that we are constantly trying to educate people about is, because of this longer time period people are going to be in retirement, they need to make sure they have adequate equities, which is our fancy phrase for saying you need to have the growth potential of stocks to make sure that if you wake up on your 80th or 85th or 90th birthday, which is becoming more and more common, that you've had the growth over the preceding years to be able to keep up with the increase in prices. So a lot of people looked at 2008 and said, oh my gosh, I'm going to get out of stocks. That's not something I want to have. People need to recognize that the flip side of the short-term volatility is how much prices are going to increase over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So making sure people have enough in stocks is a big part of what we want to make sure people are incorporating into how they're investing.
That, and that, of course, when people get nervous about investments and they want to pull back, perhaps that is the wrong and the worst thing you could do.
Absolutely.
It's scary, though. Let me tell you, when you look at your future and you think, what's going to happen if these investments disappear?
Right. And it's a totally understandable concern. And what's important for people to remember is that there are two sides to that coin. It's not just what's going to happen in the next 3 months, and I'm concerned about that. It's what's going to happen over the next three decades, and I need to be concerned about that as well. So one of the things that helps people put it in perspective is, if I'm talking to a 65-year-old, I encourage them to plan for a 30-year retirement and to think of it as two 15-year periods. First 15 years, second 15 years. Which means if you're 65, conceptually, you're not using half your money for 15 years. You're not using half your money until you're 80 and then 85 and then 90 and 95 years old. So worry some about what's happening in the next couple of years, and you certainly want to have part of your portfolio in short-term investments because of that. But if something's happening with the stock market today, you can recognize that, well, this is the money I'm not using for 15 years. So I'm going to experience that short-term volatility. It's going to make me feel uncomfortable, but I need to stick with the plan.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it, is not panicking right now, because there is a long-term thing. And typically, the stock market does bounce back and keep going.
Every 15-year period, calendar year periods, since 1926, the stock market has had a positive return.
Really?
So even incorporating the Great Depression, the bear market of the early 70s, what we just went through 2008, well, I don't know how that one is going to play out over 15
right.
years, but through 15-year periods ending last year, every single one of them has been positive. Big short-term changes, but over the long term, it's been positive.
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Stuart Ritter. He's a certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price. And we're talking about some of the concerns. Now, we were talking about the long-term effect of the stock market and the ups and downs and bounces and so on. I think one of the significant things that people are concerned about is our debt level. And, you know, while I know we don't know what's going to happen in terms of the debt level, are there investment strategies that would be tied to that? I mean, how do you factor that into making recommendations to people, especially younger people who are, we're being told, are going to have a lowered lifestyle? And how do you do this? What do you do? I mean, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are waiting for your answer, Stuart.
And here it is. There is a strategy, but it's not investments. The thing that you control that's going to have the biggest impact is how much you save.
And
that piece gets skipped over all too often. People worry about a debt level, or they hear something in the news and say, well, what do I do about my investments? The reality is, none of us control what the stock market's going to do,
right,
or what Congress is going to pass, or what changes will be made by the government in the future. What we control is how much we save out of every paycheck every couple of weeks. So the most important thing you can do is make sure you're saving enough for retirement. The number to remember is 15%. That's the target we give people of your gross salary. Be putting 15% away for retirement. Now,
Are you talking about putting it into things like an IRA or that sort of a plan so that you're making sure you've got it? Then, of course, you have to invest the IRA. You have to figure out where it's going.
Right. There are three decisions everybody has to make. How much do I save? So our guideline is save 15%. The second decision is, what account do I use? Do I use a 401k? Do I use an IRA? Do I use traditional or Roth? Generally speaking, the Roth option is best for most people.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
So get the match from your employer, and then if your employer offers a Roth option, use that. If they don't and you're eligible for a Roth IRA, go do that. The reason you're doing that is because those accounts give you tax benefits. You will pay less in taxes compared to just a regular taxable account for retirement savings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third decision, so I've saved my 15%, I've put it in the right account that's giving me tax benefits. The third decision is, where do I invest that money?
Right.
And that's where things like asset allocation, my mix of stocks, bonds, and short-term investments come in.
So that the more you're spread out, the less you risk. You just don't want to put this in one stock, because if that company goes bottom up, you are out of luck.
That's called diversification.
Right.
You're absolutely right. That's the reason you spread it out. Now, even a diversified portfolio may still have a loss over the short term. It doesn't prevent a loss. But what it does prevent is having you with all of your money in one stock or one sector.
Staying awake all night.
And something bad happening to that. So the younger you are, you've heard this before, the more you should have in stocks, because if you're not using the money for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, what happens to the stock market in the next couple of weeks is not
great.
Nearly as important as all the growth you need.
Well, that's a wonderful way of looking at it, because I think that's going to bring comfort to people listening to us.
I hope so.
Yeah, but do you think the debt is going to make a significant difference in the stock market? Now, you see, you've really got to have your crystal ball out.
And my response is, I don't know, and neither does anyone
else.
Which is, again, the point about making sure you're saving enough. There are two approaches to not knowing what the future is. The first approach is guess. Try to figure it out. Get out a crystal ball. Say, well, this is the only future that can happen. Nothing else is going to affect it, and I'm betting the farm on being
right.
No, we
don't want to do that.
Exactly.
Nope.
The alternative is to admit you don't know. Then you start focusing on the things you do control, which is how much you save. You make sure you have the right amount of stocks for your time horizon, more stocks if you're younger, less as you get older. You make sure you're diversified, because those things, those fundamentals, position you best for whatever future actually does unveil itself.
What about technology stocks and new development kinds of things? Are they speculative? Do you want to put it into a company that's got a slow growth? When people are looking and listening to us and saying, okay, now I'm going to start checking and see what's going on out there in the world, how do you define all of this? I mean, to me, it's just kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I've got somebody to talk to.
Right. There, it is important to have all of those things in your portfolio. And one of the things that people should remember is, a well-diversified portfolio has all of that in the portfolio. I'll hear someone say, well, do you think I should be invested in technology stocks? Well, if you've got a well-diversified portfolio, there are technology stocks in there. If you own a mutual fund, a broad-based mutual fund, you go look at the list of holdings, you will recognize a lot of those names if it's a large U.S. company mutual fund. So if you've got a diversified portfolio, you have technology stocks in there. You have healthcare stocks in there. You have financial stocks in there. So being diversified gives you the opportunity to participate in those kinds of things that may roll out in the future that are positive for those companies.
So the big thing is, first off, keeping in focus the fact that what happens in the next 2 weeks is not going to decide the course of the rest of your life.
No.
So that's important.
It is.
And I think we do tend to panic. We get so much news telling us, oh, be scared of this, be scared of that.
Right.
Well, I'm tired of being scared.
And you don't have to be. If you have done all the things that you can do to prepare yourself for the future, again, if you're saving the right amount, you're using the right accounts, you're invested properly, then you can have the confidence that you've done everything you can. Now, it's certainly possible sometimes a good decision still has a bad outcome, but the outcome wasn't because you did something wrong, that you didn't save enough or you invested in the wrong stock. It's because sometimes those things happen.
You can't control it.
Exactly. And if you know that you've done everything you possibly could, that's a very comforting feeling for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that they recognize that I have a plan, I've got a way to weather these storms, I know things are going to happen in the short term, but they've happened in the short term in the past. We've come out okay.
Yeah, so they can make plans. They can anticipate. Well, you can't anticipate bad things happening, but you can be as prepared as possible in case they do happen.
Exactly.
So that, you know, I like what you said about looking at it in the long term. Don't look at it in the next 2 weeks. Don't look at it at the end of the year. Don't look at it in tax time or whatever.
And I know that's hard for people to do because emotionally we're reacting to things.
Absolutely.
And you're supposed to feel those emotions. The distinction is to make sure you're not taking an action that then sabotages your ability to achieve your goals in the
mm-hmm.
future.
Well, that's very well put. Let's let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Stuart Ritter. He's a certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price. And we're talking about retirement, whether you're a young person just starting out in a career, you're midway, or you're approaching retirement, or you're retired. There are strategies and decisions to be made all along the way, which is the interesting thing and the results of the survey that you all recently conducted. Stuart, is this available at your website? Can people go there and see the statistics and numbers and figure out how they fit into the overall picture of financial planning?
They can, and we have a lot of tools available to help people then solve the problem they're dealing with. So the website is trowprice.com, TROWEPRICE.com. And that's where people can go to get more information, to have tools and calculators, to contact us if they want to talk to somebody about their personal situation so that they can get that confidence we were talking about, that they've got a plan together to help them.
Well, one of the interesting things, too, is that it seems that the workforce now is really looking at and believe they're going to have to work longer, whether they want to or not. And of course, that may that's quite possible because the retirement age is probably going to shift upwards. You know, and people are healthier. Why not work longer? I mean, you know, I guess retirement's great. I don't know. I don't ever plan to retire unless I'm forced out the door somewhere. You know, I think we need to be involved. We need to be vital. And to me, working is part of it. Maybe workers can even go to part-time work in the later years instead of working full-time. But certainly, that seems to be a reality, that it's going to be a longer work life.
It is. And one of the things we've been talking about at T. Rowe Price is a concept called practice retirement. The old days was you were full-time employed on a Friday, and Monday morning you started sitting in the rocking chair on your porch, and that was
Ooh.
It. Exactly. I mean, people's vision of retirement and what they want it to be has evolved. They want to be much more active. They want to be doing things. So the idea of full time to no time is changing. And a lot of people are shifting to part time. They're changing careers. They're trying out new things. So looking at your 60s, for example, as a transition period, as the opportunity to maybe slow down a little bit, maybe switch career tracks a little, to if you're not on track with where you want to be financially, maybe working a little bit longer and then taking the money you were saving for retirement and starting to spend that on the fun that you wanted to have. Because we'll talk to a lot of people say, look, I'm done. I want to get out of the rat race, but I don't financially have the ability to do that now. What are my options other than just keeping my nose to the grindstone? One of the options you have is to commit to continuing to work, but then starting to play now as well. The money you were saving for retirement, that 15% I mentioned, you can start spending that on vacations. You can start spending that on the things that you wanted to do in retirement, and now you've got the practice going on. Now you're trying out those new things. You're deciding whether or not you like living in an RV. Maybe you don't. And it makes the transition a lot more palatable for people.
Well, you know, that's interesting because you really are talking about a mindset here and having people look at retirement and looking at the work process differently. And, you know, I like the concept of, you know, instead of saving when you're 65, let's start spending, you know?
That's it. Now, in the meantime, if you were still employed, you were still getting benefits. You're still potentially getting health care from your employer. You're still getting a paycheck. That paycheck is keeping you from having to dip into your retirement savings. So there are a lot of positive financial aspects of doing that as well. You potentially are allowing your nest egg to grow. Once you do retire, it has fewer years it needs to cover in terms of your expenses. So there are a lot of benefits to rethinking what retirement means and being flexible in terms of what you're going to do.
Yeah, and I think that's we really are starting to look at things differently. And I think that's one of the studies, the things that your study pointed out, is a different viewpoint of retirement from younger and older workers. Were there anything else that came out of this that you find startling or very different from the past?
One of the things that I think is important for everyone to understand is what's going on with Social Security. There are a lot of folks,
that's a scary thought.
I know. But let me comfort you by saying it may not be as scary as people think it is. We get a lot of survey results back telling us that people think that essentially that Social Security checks are going to go to zero. That they hear the word bankruptcy and they think that means on some Tuesday afternoon in the future, the checks are just going to stop. The way the Social Security system is set up is every payday, part of workers' money comes into the Social Security system and essentially is immediately sent out as checks to retirees. And that's been going on since the system was created. Up until recently, they've been collecting more money than they sent out. That's going into something called the Social Security Trust Fund. A couple years ago, they weren't collecting enough for the retirees. They started taking money out of the trust fund. So when people talk about Social Security going bankrupt, what they're generally referring to is that Social Security Trust Fund that at some point in the future, the trustees report now says, I think it's 2033, that trust fund will be empty. But the next payday, workers are still getting a paycheck and some of that money is still flowing into the Social Security system and will still immediately go out as checks to retirees. Now, they anticipate at that point they'd have to shrink the check to about 75%. Of the current benefit if no changes are made in order for every retiree to still get a check. My point, though, is it's not as if the checks go to zero. It's not as if the checks stop. And Social Security is pretty complicated and there are other things going on. It's important, though, for people to recognize the way the system is designed, there will still be checks flowing out. They may be smaller. Congress may change things in the meantime. But the idea that checks will stop is not something people need to be
So the big thing is
about.
Don't panic, but do anticipate that those Social Security checks may be smaller. So consequently, your savings have got to be greater.
That's it.
And aren't I smart?
You have done the math. And we see in the survey, people recognize if Social Security is going to go down, the action I need to take in response to that is I need to save more. And we're right back to where we started. The thing mm-hmm. I control is the more money I put in an account with my name on it, the less I have to worry about what happens to Social Security, the less I have to worry about the individual vagaries of the stock market. I have the money I need to feel confident about being able to plan for my own future.
Yeah, and that's the thing that helps you sleep at night.
It does. It really does.
Right. You're not going to be so worried about it. We've just got a minute or so here. Any last thoughts for our listeners?
If you don't have a plan, now's the time to get one.
It's not tomorrow, today.
Exactly. We help people with that all the time, TRO Price.com. Feel free to reach out to us as well as others. Put a plan in place. If you have a plan, stick with the plan, and that will give you the confidence you need.
And the biggest thing is don't panic.
No, because when you panic, you do things that will sabotage your future.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to just hold steady to the course.
You do.
And I think that the issue of savings, are we seeing that people are saving more now?
It's starting to come back. People
That's
are recognizing.
That's great, because for a while there was real concern about the level of savings that people were
How
doing.
How important it is.
Well, Stuart, thank you so much for giving us some insight and telling us not to panic.
Thank you for having me.
We just have to have a plan.
I'll come back and do that anytime.
All right. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Stuart Ritter. He is a certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price. I'm Shirley Wooker, and we thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.